You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
I started out with what I thought the title of this message should be in closing. I wanted to start out with that scripture because I heard a lot of individuals, you know, quote different aspects of the scripture as we were preparing in this move. And obviously, many of you who had the opportunity and experience to see where we're entering into and how it came to pass, and we're not going to go into the details of it. You and I, you know, if you have any questions in regards to that, I will share that with you. But many of you were kind of quoting this scripture in regards to the many things that are already set up and provided for us, and it's a wonderful thing. And as I've been processing this whole thing, all of what we've seen and what we've experienced and what we've been just going through as a ministry, it is astounding to me that God still loves us. It really is. For myself personally and for things that he has done, it brings me to ask this question. Many times in our walk with God, you know, we look at his grace and we realize just how good he's been. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Or y'all just still mad at God for something? If so, just ask him to forgive you for being dumb. He's like, you call people dumb. No, I didn't call you dumb. I'm just saying that if you're mad at God, you really don't understand his plan. And when you really tap into what it is that he's doing, you realize that he's doing stuff that he really shouldn't do for us. That's from our perspective, because God is bigger than us. We don't understand what he does. And so he's doing stuff. He's doing stuff. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying, but God is doing things. You know, we had to hear that he keeps doing great things. For who? For me. And I know he's doing great things for you, but I can't talk about you because I don't know the stuff that you ain't doing. But in spite of me, he keeps doing not just things, but, come on, y'all, not just things, but for who? Me. Now, take inventory of you. Take inventory of you. Take inventory of your life and be honest. Don't sit there and say, well, I ain't as bad as Billy. You know what I'm saying? Take inventory of you in this past year. Take inventory of you in the past couple of weeks in this new year. And then think about what God has done despite you. And you'll have to say, wow, he keeps doing great things. But I want to bring it to the reality of us, because as an example, anybody ever go to the supermarket and see over in the vegetable and fruit aisle, somebody is there and they're over by the grapes, and they're not taking like one or two. They've got a bundle and they're just and you're like, in the back of your mind, who does that? Y'all say that with me. Who does that? Anybody ever wonder that? Who does that? And then they say, I don't even like those grapes. Hello? Help me out. Say it again. Who does that? Anybody ever run into, in the same place, the supermarket, ever run into a parent who has a ornery, did I say that right? I'm trying to get my Texas on. An ornery kid just acting a fool, just telling that parent, I don't want the vegetables, I want the chips. I don't want the vegetables, I want the chips. And the parent puts the vegetables back and they go and get the chips. Ask the question, who does that? Now, some of you in here, you're like, I do that. We'll pray for you. Allows that kid to dictate to them what they will and won't do. out, y'all. Come on, y'all better wake up. Who does that? I saw this on the news. An individual robbed 7-Eleven. Just rolled up in there. Didn't even, he acted like he had a gun because he didn't show it. He just had his hand in his pocket. He robbed them. He robbed 7-Eleven. Don't know if he had a gun or not. They're showing it on the camera. Then he comes back in the store and he brings the change back. Just help me out, y'all. Who does that? Who does that? As an analogy, we always hear this aspect of do not put the cart before the horse. You've heard that before, right? But can you imagine, honestly, someone putting a cart before the horse and pushing the cart uphill, them pushing the cart uphill while walking the horse? Who does that? See how just ridiculous these things are? Some real, some not so real, some real or surreal. And you sit and you ask, it's impossible as just ridiculous that is. We have to stop and ask the question, who does that? But then now we have to take inventory of our lives. And God makes promises to us. Many of them which we don't necessarily see happening because of just how we may be conducting our lives. And yet and still, his grace is sufficient and he still keeps doing not just things, but great things. And now we have to ask the question, who does that but our God? Who does that when I know I haven't necessarily been doing everything that I know to do in my relationship with him, and yet he keeps doing great things for me? Who does that? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? We have been instructed in this past month, it's the new year, to launch, put ourselves in a position to situate ourselves. God has created us for a purpose, set us into motion, put us into an environment where we're really not supposed to be, to fulfill a predetermined purpose, his purpose for us, kingdom building. We had been taught that in order for us to really operate in the way that we should, we have to understand that we have been designed to be able to see both realms, the natural realm in which we do see, but then there's a realm that is unseen, that is more real than the realm that we can see. And we have the opportunity when we say yes to Jesus that we can go behind the curtain, behind the veil, to get revelation of what's going to happen because thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is, right? Y'all were there, right? Those of you who weren't there, watch the video online, please. As it is in, so whatever it is in heaven, it already is. And what we're trying to get, what is from heaven here on earth. And what is that? God's will. Y'all feeling me? This is what God has been talking to us about. We learn also in terms of how any of this is going to happen is that seed has to be planted in our lives, the seed of the word. And the word has to be planted in good ground. We know that God, when he created man, he created us good. Look at your neighbor and say, you are good. Look at your other neighbor and say, you are good. My God. God created you good, so you inevitably, when you said yes to Jesus, you are good ground. And seed planted in you has the opportunity to be multiplied some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. It can happen because you are good ground. But we also learned that as much seed as we had, the much word as we had, we have to be obedient to the word of God and make sure that we allow the soil to rest so that soil can then be more productive. In other words, the seed that is in your life, the gifts, the talents, and things that God has put in you, many of us already experienced as much as we had tried in times past, 2013, 2014, to do different things. It just wasn't quite wasn't quite bearing the fruit that we wanted it to bear. And God spoke to us and said, the reason being is you're not resting your soil. So we're going to rest because God is expecting us, because we are good ground to bear much fruit. Y'all feeling me or y'all sleeping? Y'all ready to go? We ready to go, Pastor. But with all of that, Pastor Fred ministered to us last Sunday to say, okay, but with all of that being said, I have some nasty little habits. We have some practices that we cannot bring over into where God is taking us. Cannot. Now, it is not just about our move physically from this place to the place that he's going to have us worship, but wherever you are in your walk with God and the challenges that you have faced in this year, some of those habits you are going to have to stop if you're going to get the blessing that we sang about earlier today. God's got a blessing with your name on it. Guess what? You can't get it until you're ready for it. You can't get it until it's time for you to have it. He can't give it to anybody else because it's got your name on it. And I don't know about you, but I want my blessing on this side of eternity. If he's promised me on this side of eternity, I want it on this side. Because remember, whatever is going to manifest on earth, it's already there. So if you go there and you get your blessing, you kind of missed it. Because when you get over there, you ain't going to be thinking about having to have stuff. You're going to have everything that you need. Oh, y'all not hearing me. My blessing that's supposed to be here, watch this. The blessing that's supposed to be here manifests here. If I missed it because I wasn't obedient, and then it's manifest on that side, and God says, well, you don't need it now. Question, who does that? All right, woof, you just missed that. Why are you waiting for the other side when he said, I make a promise that it's supposed to be here? And it's your blessing. I can't give it to anybody else. Glory to God. I'm saying and sharing all of this insofar as our journey because, you know, we go from week to week. And at any point that we are doing what we're doing, we sometimes miss. We just get off focus. We get off focus and we find ourselves finding ourselves lulled back into the routine of church instead of the ritual that God wants us to establish, and not forgetting what he has done. Because in the scripture in Deuteronomy, he speaks about things that I'm going to hook you up. God is saying this to you and I in the condition that we are in, and we have to ask, help me out, we have to ask the question, who does that? Who gives houses that you didn't build? Who does that? Who establishes provision for you that you don't have to work for? See, y'all not hearing me right now. He's establishing some stuff here because, you know, in the natural, we know that there are things that we're having to believe God for, and we got jobs, and, oh, Lord, I thank you for my job. But God is trying to transition us out of you. Your job is really, listen to me, your job should be excess. Who does that but God? My job is not supposed to be the end of all of my provision. Of course, I'm thankful for it, but my job is supposed to be just the extra stuff. What am I supposed to do with this check for, or whatever it is you get your check for? See, if we stay where we're at, then we're going to miss what God is really trying to do with us. And we've got to get ourselves, our faith to a place where we're saying, God, I'm not even focused on what this check is going to say from week to week. I want to move into that realm where you are just opening up doors for me to have stuff and to do stuff because you promised all your children. You promised all the children all of this stuff, and I'm awestruck that you would even give me the opportunity to exercise enough faith to where the job that you've given me, that's just excess. Who does that? Ooh, I hope I kind of feel that your faith is just kind of expanding a little bit. Some of y'all, Thomas, y'all like Thomas right now. That's all right. I understand. I need to see it first. Let me let you know that there's some things already starting to happen. some stuff is already starting to happen, and you're already in a position where you just, man, I was going to use this tax money for stuff, but now I got to think about something totally different to do with it. Now, here's the kicker, because your old habits will kick in, and you're like, now I can get them shoes that I was waiting on. And the provision that God is giving, things that you hadn't built, things that you hadn't worked for, all of this stuff that he is saying, I want to give it to you. You're supposed to have, this is what I promised you, and the job and the things that you are able to do in the natural, that's just excess so that you would go ahead and serve the kingdom like you want to serve the kingdom. Give to people like you wanted to give without having to feel like, well, dang, if I give them this $5, then I ain't got no money for lunch tomorrow. You know that lunch was nasty anyway for $5. But this is where he's wanting us to see. It's not just about the move, Pastor Frey. It's about God's move in our lives to begin to see bigger than what it is that we have been seeing in our relationship with him. Why? Because even in the state that we're in right now, he's blessed us. He's been doing great things. But I believe that he wants to, we sang it again. God bless you guys. Miracles? Stuff that you can't explain. How did that happen? I could tell you, but I don't know. I'd love to explain it to you, but all I can say is God. And let people doubt you. That's cool. Let them doubt. I want to move into a realm where I want to see more of God move in this way, because he's promised, not because I'm begging him for it, but because he's promised it. And if God is not a liar, which he's not a man that he should lie, which he's not, then something is disconnected. And I'm smart enough to know it's me. It's me who's disconnected, and I've got to get myself reconnected, because I want to see, I've seen the great things. The great things is, even when I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, he keeps doing great things, but I want to see miraculous things. I want to see the things that I honestly cannot explain to you other than to say, God. Y'all feeling me? I'm saying this not because I've arrived, but I'm saying this because I want to see that day. I don't know what your pay periods fall on, but I want to see that day when I get that thing deposited in my account, and I'm sitting there saying, I don't know what to do with it. People are asking you, well, where is all of this surplus coming from? Where the people who don't believe will sit there and says, who does that? Who does that, God? And then when you begin to invest in the kingdom with no cares and no concern about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear, because if he takes care of the lilies of the field and the birds, and look, they ain't even got no clothes. How much, the scripture says what? How much more? And it's got to be more, because we are and have been placed here higher than the birds and higher than the earth. In fact, we have been given dominion over that. So while he does for them, and they may not be conscious of it, guess what? He has given us his spirit to where when he does things, we can't help but give him the glory, because we know where it came from. I wish I had more people to agree with me this morning. And we've experienced, you know, like little drip drops of God doing those miracle things, just little drip drop. And we got excited about it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes. And it's all good. But God is like, but I'm going to open this faucet here. I've got this reservoir of things that I want to give to you. There are things that I want to show you in regards to the area of not just provision, but what I want you to do for the kingdom. And I realize in the time and day that you live, your commerce, your financial dynamic is not agriculture, it's commerce, it's funds, it's money. But I don't want you to work your fingers to the bone to try to support the ministry. I want you to get your faith to a level to where, you know what, there are things that are coming from left, right, north, south, east, and west, and it's coming to your mailbox, and it's coming to your deposit. I want you to run into people who say, you know what, I've got about $5 million that I don't know what to do with, and I've been watching you, and I don't know why. I'm not even a Christian, but I want to write this out to you, and I want to give it to you. See, I know that sounds just... I know y'all saying that, but I'm saying, can we get our faith there? Can we get our faith there to not look to man, but to say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you made a promise to your children back in the day, and today it's manifested. We know that it's true that you gave them a land that they didn't have to work for. They took over wells that they never even had to dig. I mean, they didn't get no kind of dirt. Oh, man, I wish I would get more excited about that. Because if it happened for them and we're reading it, there's no reason under the new covenant that we have through Jesus, who says now watch this. Can I go just a little bit of history here? Before this statement is made to the children of Israel about what God would do, watch this. They had an issue with God speaking. See, he spoke and there was thunder and lightning and whatnot. And then they said, Moses, bruh. We had a little issue with God because he is so big and so loud and he's scary. So we don't want to talk to him. We want you to go and represent us. Go on. And so God heard their conversation and said, and this is what the Lord said, send them to their tents. Scared of me. I want to be with them. They scared right now, but I will, Moses, I will talk to you. I will give you the commandments, and then you go ahead, because he's so gracious. God is so gracious. And as he is giving them the commandments, he wants to remind them, look, y'all, I didn't bring you all the way out here to the desert to die. Let me tell you what the plan is. Thank you, Pastor Fred. Let me tell you what the plan is. The plan is to move you into a land flowing with milk and honey. And when you get into the land, there's already going to be cities built. Walk in. That's a nice house. It's yours. Oh, thank you. See, we laughing, but that's what happened. That's what happened. And there were, you know, you read your text of scripture, you know that there were battles and different things that were going on. But as long as they stayed close to God and they kept his commandment, everything that he promised them, they got. And the effort that they put into the getting was not because they had to fight for it, but because they had to be obedient to each step that God told them to do. And they walked into things that they didn't have to work for. They came out of Egypt with gold and stuff as slaves. Who does that? The job that you're on, you hate it, but yet now you've changed your mind about what it is and you choose to believe God for your provision instead of the job, and you get to a place where you say, you know what, I'm leaving this place, and the boss comes to you and says, you know, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to give you an increase. You're not even, you know, according to our standard, you're not even educated like you need to be, but I need you to take this job. I need you to take it. Will you please take it? See, many of y'all looking at me like, nah, that stuff don't happen. That stuff happens. But guess what? Guess what, though? God has a blessing with your name on it. So while we can say it happens, we got to get to a point where, it happens, and it happens to me. And I'm not saying that arrogantly or whatever, but it's happening because I'm choosing to obey every commandment, every instruction that God gives me to do, and I'm not going to complain about, even while it's hard, because there's a fight, there's a little bit of fight that I have. I'm not fighting with God and his commandment. I'm fighting with the enemy who's trying to convince me God don't want to do that for you. God don't want you to have that. You're struggling and you're going through right now, you know, it's because you deserve the punishment. No, my understanding is that God keeps doing great things. And he's doing it while I'm not fully even engaged in what he wants me to do. He's doing great things. But what happened? What happens when I start really doing what he says to do? Y'all not hearing. Okay, how would Jakes do it? Y'all get excited about Jakes. Jakes would be like, I can't do Jakes. Forget it. Y'all got me. Be happy. While we were yet sinners, he died for the ungodly. Who does that? 3 years with the disciples, walking with them seeing him walk on water, and then when it comes to, and he told them what was going to happen, and when it began to go down in terms of his crucifixion, they dispersed. Who does that? And he did exactly what he said he would do. He didn't stay dead. He rose again and came back to the same knuckleheads that just dispersed and said, oh, this is over. Lord Jesus, that's us. Lord, it's over. My life is done. No, he comes right back to you. Who does that? A God who has a plan, God who has a purpose, God who said, I want to show you some things. I don't want to just be great in your eyes. I want to blow your head off your shoulders. Okay, maybe that was too graphic. I want to show you I'm real. I want to show you that whatever challenge you have, because you're going to, Jesus spoke this, in this world you will have trouble. But be of what? Why? Because I have overcome the world. So my troubles and the challenges, all they are there to do is to discipline me and to chasten me and to get me in a place where I'm ready for my head being blown off my shoulder. Amen. Be in a position where God is just doing things that I can't explain it to you. I can't put into words what he has done. I can't, there are no sentences that I can put together to say there was something that I did that incurred this thing that has happened that is so over the top when it comes to what God has done, except to say, but God. And the best thing that I can do is when I gather around other believers who are at different levels of their walk with God, or even if they're not walking with him, to be able to be a living expression of who he is. Because there's one great commandment. Jesus kind of broke it into two parts. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. And the second is like the first, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And why do I love myself? I love myself because I know myself ain't got a lot to do with what I got. That's a reflection of myself. I love myself because I've learned and I've disciplined myself to say, it's not me, but it's God. I've disciplined myself. I've been chastened enough. I've been whooped on enough by this world and the things that it do to help me to understand, even with all that I can do, it's not enough. It's not enough to get through what I need to get through in this life. And God has not called me to survive. Watch this now. We said this some years ago, but we're here to thrive. Y'all know what thriving is? Do you know the concept of thriving? Do you know the concept of really not having to want for anything? I mean, I just don't. See, some of you young people in here, the parents that have translated from wherever they come from to where you are right now, one of the reasons why we get so mad at you, why we get so upset with you, is we want you to just grasp the concept that you ain't got to do nothing for the bed you sleeping in. We didn't ask you to do anything. And the little things we ask you to do, as compared to the stuff that we got to do to get you. But God, he doesn't even beat us, he doesn't beat up on us like we do sometimes with our kids. Who does that? But God. But God. And God says, when we come into this place, the best I can do, the best I can do, the best I can do is not act like it's over. Oh my God, I gotta get up. I gotta get up and go to church. God, who's doing great things for you and who wants to take you to a whole nother level where it's not just great, but it's unexplainable. I can't even, how did you do that? I can't even talk about it. Leave me alone. What did Shirley Caesar say, dear? Hold my mule. Hold the keys to my car. Don't go nowhere, Billy. Just hold the keys, because I got to get my praise. I mean, I'm just saying. So the old school kind of understood, you know, the aspect of God's provision. And he wants to take us so far beyond just how we're going to eat and where we're going to live. He's saying, look, I can do stuff to where you're not even thinking about it, and then it'll happen. Where you hadn't even prayed for it. Anybody ever experienced that? Where you didn't even pray for something and God just did it? I mean, he just did it. And you're like, what? Where did that come from? Mind you, when you take inventory of yourself, you try to justify, well, maybe because God is like, I didn't do that for you because of anything. I did that so that you know that I'm God. And that little drip drop that I hit you with, please, I got a whole ocean full of stuff that I want to give to you, because I've got to use you who have dominion on this planet to show others. It's not my intent that anyone should go to hell. But the only way that they're going to know that I'm real is I'm manifesting it through you. And you can't be broke, and you can't be depressed, and you can't walk around waiting on some man to take care of you. You can't be walking around waiting on some job to hook you up. You can't do, I got to get you beyond what you're able to do to get to what I'm able to do, so that when people see you, you're not just declaring God is great, but you're saying it is unexplainable. Does that? God. I want to see it, man. I want to hear the testimonies. Because you know what? When he positions us for that, then what happens is that we will look at those things, that surplus and that excess and that stuff that he wants to do, and he wants to see, well, what you going to do with it now? You don't need a house. You don't need another car. I do, but you don't need one. That's my wife. You don't need no more clothes. You don't need. You hear what I'm saying? You don't. Lord knows you don't need another meal. I'm just saying, y'all. Y'all know what I mean. you eating good, and when you eat, and you are, the scripture says, full. Don't forget. Don't forget. God, can you really do that? Yeah, he can. John chapter 11, if you're not familiar with this text of scripture, it speaks about the aspect of a friend of Jesus, a family, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Lazarus fell ill. Scripture begins the chapter. Lazarus was sick, and the word got to Jesus. Jesus, Lazarus is sick. And Jesus was like, yeah, I know. Yeah, he's sick. And strange thing happened. When he found out that he was sick, and the scripture makes it very clear that he loved these individuals. He makes a statement to his disciples in verse 4 that says that the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so when he heard that he was sick, watch this. When he heard that he was sick, he loved them. And that sickness was not unto the death. When he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Who does that? Love you. What? You got a terrible car accident and you're on your deathbed and I'm your pastor and I just decide, you know what? You know, I got 2 days of golf that I'm going to do. Y'all, okay, see y'all. You should go right away. He stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, after staying the 2 more days, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Now, if you track this story, you go back. Jesus has been speaking to the scribes, Pharisees, and these individuals, and he basically declared to them that he was God, that Abraham, before Abraham was, I am. And that really just, they were not happy. Got stones, were about to stone him. The scripture says that he just disappeared among the midst of them. Just, and I'm sure the disciples were like, dude, where did you, who does that? How do you leave us? We can't just go through the people. Anyway, that was, read it. Chapter before. So now he's planning to go back. And the disciples who probably couldn't go through the people like he went through, they're like, look, the last time we did this, they wanted to stone you, but they couldn't find you. So they was looking for the next best thing. And you want to go back? Sometimes you got to bring a little reality to the text of scripture that we're reading. Because that's what they ask him. Do you want to go back there where they wanted to stone you? You want to go back? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if he walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. That's a whole nother message, y'all. These things he said, and after that, he said to them, my friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. In other words, they're still on this. The last time we were there, they wanted to stone you, bro. And now you're telling us, now you want to go back and he's just sleeping? Call him. You want to go back? Who does that? If he sleeps, you want to wake him. Jesus says to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. I can imagine just how Jesus was like, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go also. Let's also go that we may die with him. See, y'all got to understand, this was about the stoning. Read it, you'll find, Jesus disappeared through the crowd, but they were like, where did he go? Who does that? Who leaves us? Now we got to go back. And Thomas is like, well, we are his disciples, so just get ready. We escaped by the skin of our teeth this time. It ain't, they going to hear us coming back. We going to die. We gonna die. Let's go. So when he came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. Mary was sitting in the house. Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am. I want to just stop right there. I want to stop right there because this is like now the second time that he's declared who he is. I am. the resurrection and the life. He was the resurrection and life for everyone, but he was being clear in terms of her need at that moment. I am whatever you need right now. You need resurrection. I am that for you. So this is not, you're not waiting, watch this. You're not waiting for the stuff that's on the other side that you can't see. I am the resurrection now on earth as it is. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. He's declaring to her based upon her need. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went away. You continue to read the story. The bottom line is the individuals are declaring to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here sooner, he wouldn't have died. You heard he was sick. He hadn't been dead yet. If you had come, you could have healed him, because we were used to you doing great things. Oh, y'all tracking with me? I got 4 minutes left. Am I losing you? We heard that you if you had come while he was sick, we already know that whenever sick people are in your presence, they get well. You do great things. You do great things and undeserving great things to people and for people. So if you had been here while he was still sick, we know he would have been made well. But now he's dead. It's a wrap. We know that you're an awesome and great God, and you've done great things, but this now is beyond great. They didn't say that, but I mean, the thought is, this is something you can't do. Why? We hadn't seen it before. We've seen and heard, and so our faith level was at a place where we know you can work while there was still life. You could work while there was still stuff, something that was there for you to work with. But we had never seen you do something when there was nothing there. So our faith wasn't at a place where when there's nothing there, you can still. Y'all not catching. Y'all not tracking. Their faith wasn't at a place where they could believe beyond what they had already experienced and knew. God, you're great. But God, can you do the unexplainable? We ain't seen that before. So apparently, because we ain't seen it, it can't happen. I'm with y'all. I understand. It's not like I've arrived yet. Because I hadn't seen it, it means that it can't happen. No. Just because you didn't see it doesn't mean that it hadn't already happened. How do we know this? Because Jesus had already declared to his disciples, he's not dead. He sleeps. I'm going there to wake him up. He already said what was already. They weren't listening because they were worried about getting knocked upside the head with a stone. Sister Martha got a little religious, and we do that sometimes. Well, I know you are the resurrection in the last day. I know, and I'm standing and believing, but right now we got to get prepared to bury him. Thanks, Jesus. You just missed this one. Anybody? God, you were supposed to help me pass that test. I need to pray a little harder next time I get it, but right now I'm mad at you. My faith is for what I can do, and if there's a little bit of life, God, you can do something with it, but I've not gotten to a place where I can believe you for the unexplainable. God puts this in here because he wants us to be able to declare when people ask, who does that? We can say, God. Who does that? God. Scripture says, we Let's go down. And they're having conversation. Lord, verse 32, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. I can only imagine just, first he has a relationship with these people, so don't get it twisted. He loved these people. And you see the sisters really just, they're hurting. And then the people who came to weep with her, they were professional criers. They were people who, no, for real. They came, oh, it's time to cry. So a part of Jesus, I'm sure, was like, you know what, really, guys? That's what it said, Pastor. He said he groaned in his spirit. But he also wept. Amen. Where have you laid him? Verse 34. They showed him. Verse 35 and 6. See how they loved him. See how he loved him. Jesus wept. The shortest verse in scripture. I don't think that he was weeping over Lazarus, y'all. I don't think he was crying over that. You see how he loved him. And some of them could not. This man who opened the eyes of the blind and has also kept this man from dying. Again, our faith level knows that he's been healing people while they were sick and while they were just going through. But Lazarus is dead. And he's not just dead. He's dead. 4 days. 4 days in the grave. And the Jewish culture is like, you know what? We kind of wait around because, that spirit might still be in there. And if God wants to do, so if somebody comes within that 3-day period, he wasn't really dead. But Lazarus in the dead, he's in the grave, tomb, wrapped up, spiced up, 4 days smelling dead. All right, I'm coming for a landing. I just ran out of time. Y'all know how this ends, y'all. Y'all know how this ends. Take away the stone, verse 39. Martha still. Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? They took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. So just so y'all know, he was dead. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, I'm not saying it in a loud voice, but he said it in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died, did y'all read that? Came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him, let him go. The many Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. And y'all know the rest. Pharisees went away and was like, oh my God, I'm gonna try to explain to you what happened, but it's an unexplainable situation here. Who does that? God. I say all this to say with what we as a body have been given a responsibility to do. It's not just about going through this year, going through the next couple of days, next couple of months, anticipating that God will do things in the same vein that he has been doing for us. Things that we can recognize. God, I know you can do this. I know you can do that. But to move our faith level to a place where now God can begin to matriculate to us. Matriculate. Ooh. And then begin to open the floodgates of the unexplainable, the undescribable, the I don't know, don't ask me how, just ask me who. I wish I had more hand claps than that, not just because of what I said, but because it's going to get to that place where I can't tell you how. I can't tell. Where did it come from? I don't even know that guy who, I don't know him. I don't know her. I don't know that organization. I don't, that guy, that supervisor, I don't know why they just decided to do that. I don't know. They just decided to do it. But in the back of my mind, wait a minute, I've been sitting on the word enough to know, wait a minute, I don't know the how, but I know the who. They gave you a raise? You only been here 4 months. Who does that? God. If you only believe. My pastor, he continued to say to the disciples, to Mary, if you would only believe. If you would only believe. If you would only believe that I am whatever you need me to be. And understand that I'm here to do the unexplainable. I'm not here just to, I'm not here to do what you expect me to do. I can do that, but I want to be able to do something in your life that so solidifies your faith in who you believe. That anytime anybody ever questions you, all you have to do is show them what you didn't have anything to do with. There's no God. Yeah, okay, well, the no God that you say doesn't exist, who does that? God. And it's not just about stuff, y'all. Now, I know when you were so ugly and so mean, and now all of a sudden you just, I mean, you are genuinely a loving person. How did you do it? I can't explain the how. I can only explain the who. Glory to God. Can we pray?
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215 or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.